promise that. Just up the way, there's a better day, so I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
Glory, hallelujah, shout that leads me onward.
I'm walking by faith. He's made a way
in Jesus' name, so I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
Keep
pressing forward.
With
a happy glory,
hallelujah, shout that leads me onward.
I'm walking by faith.
Walk by faith.
He's made a way,
and by His grace, He's leading me to a better place. I'll proclaim in Jesus' name that I won't turn back.
Well, it was been hectic since like.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he willingly tread. All my sins he forgave.
They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. With such anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. They are nailed to the cross.
He is tender, he's loving and patient with me, as he forms me like him to be.
Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for how you love us. Lord, we're so excited to see what you're going to do this week in these young people's hearts and lives. Lord, and we thank you that all of them can go. And thank you for our church that loves kids and loves to share your word. Bless the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to 343. 343. At the cross. 343.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for
you're such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun and darkness hide and shut his glories in. Christ the mighty maker died, and the creature sinned. At the cross, I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief I ne'er repay, the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Turn over to page 75. Rejoice in the Lord.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servants and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord. Though your testing seems long, in darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day, and peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purify, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see distinct from above, God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Thank you for your singing.
Thank you, Miss Wendy.
Glad everybody could be here today. Happy Senior Campers Day. They're leaving today, immediately after lunch. June 3rd, Wednesday, Bible preaching and prayer, no patch club at 7 o'clock. Saturday, June 6th, bus visitation, churchwide operation, saturation, and soul winning at 10. Wednesday, June 17th, all permission forms and money must be turned in for the junior campers. Sunday, June 21st, Father's Day, special music message for all of the dads, and a gift also. And then that's the day that the junior campers will be leaving, immediately after lunch. And then June 26th, Nathan and Katie's wedding in Florida. And then July 5th, the U.S. celebration with grilling and chilling games, fireworks at Pastor's house at 5 till dark. And if you have any other questions, please talk to Pastor. And if you don't have a bulletin, they're around the table in the back.
Good morning. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church and our adult Sunday school class. I knew it was a Sunday school class. I just didn't know which one. All right. It's good to have you all here today. And I hope you saw me get attacked by that fly a while ago. Man, I thought, what was that? Well, I knocked him down on my Bible, and he's looking back at me. I don't know. His eyes were bigger than me, or my eyes. I'm not sure. But anyway, we got through that. This morning we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm going to be looking at a few things here today. And the Lord's got a message here in verses 20 through the end of this chapter. It's pretty good length here, but we're going to be looking at some of that this morning. But before we do, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. Lord, we're thankful that you're on the throne. And Lord, we know that there's nothing that you can't do. So, Father, we ask that you would bless today. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be among us, Lord, that we would know and feel and realize we have a God that loves us and cares for us. Father, I pray that you just be with each part of the message and today. And then, Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor as he brings the message, Lord, that you would give him guidance and direction in your word. And Lord, we ask that you would touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls that hear that message. Lord, we ask that you would be with us, and we thank you, Lord, again for your grace, your love, your mercy, your kindness that you show us every day. Lord, we're just so thankful we have a great God. And Lord, today we want to magnify your name and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here in the sixth chapter of Luke, we looked at this before, just for a review here, some of the things that's taken place. We find there in the first part, the Lord talks about being Lord of the Sabbath. Very important part is he teaching people that Not only was he able to do work miracles on the Sabbath and different things like that, but he is the God of the Sabbath. He is the Lord there. And in verse 8, there was a man in the synagogue that they were had a withered hand, and the Lord told him to stretch forth his hand, and he healed him. And of course, we see that he said, I turned to the people there in verse 9 and said, Jesus said, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful for this, on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, save lives or to destroy it? And so he's teaching them and telling them he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He'd already mentioned that in the Sabbath before and the situation there. But he looks at the man and tells him to stretch forth his hand, and immediately the man's hand was restored. Verse 11 is something interesting to me anyway. And they were filled with madness. He did a great miracle. He healed this man, but the Pharisees, the scribes, and people that were there, they became mad. They thought this was a terrible thing, but he told them it's the right thing to do good. Do good on the Sabbath. You know, I believe the Bible teaches us it's good to do good all the time. Good, I think it was Bob Jones Sr. Said, right is right and wrong is wrong. Wrong is never right and right's never wrong. We need to do good. We need to do the right thing. And that's exactly what Christ did in this portion of Scripture. He did the right thing. He healed the man. And then, of course, then in the next few chapters, a few verses here, we talked about the apostles. He names his 12. He chooses out of his disciples 12 apostles, he tells us, and he gave them that name, apostle, a little bit different. In the Greek, the word means sent one. Just like in the Latin, missionary means sent one. And so just as the Lord himself is a missionary, God sent him into the world. And so our job, and he's sending out these disciples, they have a purpose. And as we looked at these names last week and seen that several of those apostles were, let's see, I do have a list of them all in here, but we were looking at them, and there's some of them that are very recognized in Scripture. He starts out always in every one of these places where they start out name, where he starts naming the apostles. Peter's always the first one, and he calls him Simon, and he changed his name to Peter, because meaning the small stone or the pebble, so Simon Peter and his name, and like I said last week, whenever you read in the Scriptures and you see Simon, he is referring to Peter. In his sinful, fleshly condition, the Lord told them, his disciples in the upper room, that he was going away, and then Peter rebuked him and said, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere," and he said, first thing Jesus said, "Simon, Satan desires to sift thee like wheat." And he was talking to him. And so every time you can look in the Scriptures, you'll find out when he says Simon, he's talking about the fleshly Peter. Matter of fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 21, I think it was Philip that did a great job on this on the popcorn preaching. Popcorn? Whatever that was. But anyway, the preaching you had last week on Sunday afternoon, I did see it. I did... appreciate those messages, but what the Lord tells him here, he starts out in verse 11 of 21, chapter 21 of John. He says, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net," talking about what Peter did. And then here in verse 15, is where it's looking, He says that, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He's talking to fleshly Peter. He said, Simon, you got in your flesh. You were in your flesh. You weren't listening to the word of God. You weren't listening to what I was telling you. He says, lovest thou me? And Philip did a great job on that particular verse of scripture on last Sunday afternoon. So we went through the names of these apostles, and we know Simon Peter, Andrew, his brother. The good thing I always find about Andrew, whenever you find Andrew, he's bringing somebody to Christ. He was a quiet, humble man, and we look at that just a little bit. Some of these other guys, you don't hear anything in Scripture, but you know they were faithful. They were faithful to God, and they stayed with Him. Matter of fact, these same names you'll be able to find in the book of Acts, except for one missing, that's Judas. But Judas Iscariot. So all of them, they stayed faithful to the Lord all through His ministry, and they were there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I believe that they were preaching the words. They were preachers of the word. And so although we don't see and know a lot about them, each and every one of them, they're now, of course, James, the son of, or not James, the son, he was the son of his father. He did have one, I know. But James and John, James, of course, he was the first apostle that was martyred. So he was one of the first apostles. He was the first apostle martyred. And so his name is mentioned a little bit more, and Philip and Bartholomew. Of course, Philip, we meet Philip in John chapter 1, and see him under a fig tree. No, actually, he is the one that leads Nathanael, who is Bartholomew. He tells him about the Lord, and then the Lord Jesus comes to him and talks to Nathanael, which is Bartholomew. So there's a few places that they're mentioned. Matthew, we talked a little bit about him. Matthew wrote a gospel, but you'll notice in Matthew's gospel, now in the other gospels like Luke here and Mark, when they mention the apostles or mention Matthew, they call him Levi, because his name, he was Levi. And not only that, he also was a tribe of Levi. And so, but in book of Matthew, you'll never call his name Levi. He's Matthew the publican. And the reason why he does that, he humbles himself. He knows that being the publican that he was, the tax collector, and these things kind of went against his fellow Jews and different things, and they didn't really like that. And so he always, he's a humble man. And that's the reason why you don't see a lot of these guys mentioned, because I believe they were very humble. In self, they knew the mission was not me, it was him. And you know, that's what the problem is a lot of times, is people get the wrong idea to what the mission is. I think Brother Martin and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday as we were visiting, but I get the wrong idea what the mission is. The mission is not me. I am the least of anything. But it's not me, it's him, always him. And I believe that that's the attitude that these apostles had. And then the next portion of scripture here in verses 17 through 19, we see it says there, and he came down with them, and he was with the apostles up here on the mountain and was coming down. And he stood in a plain, and the company of of the company of his disciples and the great multitude. His disciples were there, and there also was a great multitude of people out of all of Judea and Jerusalem and to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You know, I was thinking about the preaching last week, I did get the opportunity to hear Brother Martin on Sunday morning and teaching about the church, how important it was. He preached it so well, he convicted himself that they joined the church. I said, isn't that amazing? He did a good job of it. Yeah. So anyway, good to have the Martins with us and members of the church. So at the right church, right? Yeah. The big B church. Now, anyway, okay. So where was I? Oh, yeah, the miracles. Okay, we have a list here. Now, the interesting thing is in some of these, in the Gospel of Luke, or not Luke, this is Luke, Matthew. In Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel, he goes into a lot of details of some of these people who got diseases cured and healed during this time. Matter of fact, verse 18, he said that were vexed with unclean spirits and many were healed. That's what Luke says. And Luke, being the doctor, in some of these other portions of Scripture, when he starts talking about somebody getting healed, he goes into detail about the healing process, what they came through. The woman that was was vexed with a crippling disease and touched the hem of the Lord's garment. Some of these things, he comes and tells a lot of detail, but in this particular portion of Scripture, he just mentions it. And the whole, and it says, and the verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And so anybody that came at this time, they were healed by the Lord. And his fame had gone out. In this portion of Scripture here, you can see how far his fame had reached from Judea to Jerusalem, to the coast, to Galilee, and what's the city here? In all these areas, his fame had gone out, and people had were coming to see the Lord because they knew there was great things. And one thing you notice here, that they were coming for the physical. They were coming to be healed. They had needs, physical needs, and they came for those physical needs. But in the next portion here, he's going to preach a message, and he's going to talk about their real spiritual need, And he's going to start here in verse 20. We're going to be looking at this morning. Let me get to the right page of my notes, because it's interesting. In Luke's gospel, we find out here he gives four blessings. In the gospel of Matthew, there's nine, and there's a difference. And we're going to try to bring that out this morning if we have time, because I'm running out already. But anyway, in verse 20 here, it says, and he lifted his eyes on the disciples and said, blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did they their fathers unto the prophets. Then he starts out here in the next verses with some woes. I'd like for you to look at it for just a minute here, who he's addressing this to. He said, in verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. These are saved people. These are the ones that are saved. I believe the disciples that he's called out. But now let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And I'll read this because it's a little bit different here in Matthew chapter 5. This is Matthew chapter 5, known as the Sermon on the Mount. This message lasts for, clear to chapter 8, I think. Chapter 7, it ends in chapter 7. And so it's chapter 5, 6, and 7. All of this is in red. And see, the Lord's speaking all these things. And it all goes together as we look at that. We're not going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount right now, but we're just looking at what he says in this particular portion. He starts out this way. Verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he had set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which are hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so as we see here, he's added some things. And I believe one of the reasons why is because he is preaching not only to the disciples, but seeing the multitude. There's a multitude of people here. There were some things he wanted to add more than he said to his disciples. In Luke's gospel, you'll see all of a sudden he says there's some woes in there. I always like that. It kind of reminds me of riding a horse. Whoa, you know, you need to stop and see what's going on here. So he says, whoa. And I believe that because maybe he looked around and seen there was some Pharisees and some scribes there. And he was looking and he said, let me tell you some things. There's some woes here. He says in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 24, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." And I look at that and I say, you know, what is rich? We live in the richest country in the world. We do not know poverty. A few years ago, I hate that because a lot of people have that first name. He was from, his dad was in Salina. Anybody can remember? Anyway. He came and he was here at church and he was preaching and he brought a picture of a child. I looked in my files and stuff. I got the picture somewhere and I need to bring it and show it. It would have been a great illustration this morning. But this child was crawling and his belly was all swelled in an African country, Somalia or somewhere like that. And he had taken the picture just minutes before this child actually died. And it was such an amazing picture that he actually won the Pulitzer Prize for the photo. But that man looked at that picture and he never did anything about that child. He never tried to help him, never tried to, he just took the picture. And in his life, as he went, and of course he got the big prize for the photo and all those things, but the guilt of not helping that child, that it actually, he committed suicide because of that. And but you know, a lot of times we don't realize, I get the Voice of the Martyrs and different magazines like that, and you see the poverty, you see all those things, and this portion of Scripture where Christ here is telling his disciples, and he says here, "Woe unto you who are rich." You know, those disciples, their needs were met. They were with the Lord. Matter of fact, Matthew was a pretty wealthy guy. He didn't turn over his money like Zacchaeus did. I guess he had enough Jew in it, he could hold on. But anyway, I don't know. But Matthew and a few of the other ones actually were pretty wealthy. They actually helped in the ministry with their wealth and different things like that. And so as saying this, he says, "Woe unto you rich, for ye have received your consolation." In other words, you got to go beyond the riches, the things that we have. We live in a country where we're very rich. I mean, some of us even have houses, Brother Martin. I know you're looking. we have things. And sometimes the things control us more. And that's what I believe what he's talking about. You've received your consolation. Don't let your riches control you. He's talking to his disciples here. He's telling them, giving them a warning. Don't let those things, that's not the purpose of this life. The houses, the cars, all these things we have. You know, I look at my car sometimes, 2001, pretty old. But and I think, well, it'd be nice to have a new car. But then I look at the payments, and that's enough. Yeah, but anyway, so, you know, it's living within your means, living those things. And I tell you what, if I got a car payment, there's no way I could keep up with my tithe and offerings. Really? I mean, what I pay in? Well, I don't know. I was looking at one car one time. They were telling me it's going to be $1,200 a month for a car payment. And I said, that's ridiculous. But anyway, it was a nice car, but it wasn't that nice. But because I was thinking, that would take my tithe and missions to pay for that car. And I wouldn't, that stopped me. That's the only thing I have to think of. What I'm giving it for in my tithe and missions, I'm not going to touch that. You know, that's not my money. It's his. You know, so we watch our riches. I don't live in the best house on the block. I can tell you that, where I live. A lot of other people, I mean, a lot of people across the street down there, they just sold their house for $380,000. I like mine a lot better. But I'd sell mine for that if you want to buy it, Brother Martin. But anyway, you know, it's right in the same block with big houses. You know, so anyway, we need to, I think he's instructing him here to watch their riches. Well, watch what you're doing. And he says in verse 25, "Woe unto you that are full." You know, I've lost a lot of weight and everything, but I have never felt hungry. I'm not hungry. Right? And we need to watch that we're filling our bellies with too much. And we need to realize that he tells us right here, he says, that are full, "For ye shall hunger." He should have, and these apostles that he was talking to, they were going to be, when he was gone, they were going to be put to the test, to their abilities of serving the Lord and how they were going to do it. And of course, Peter had a good idea. Let's go fishing. I mean, after the Lord was crucified, that's the first thing he thought. Let's go fishing. We can make some money. The Lord gave them this warning here to realize that there was going to become a time when they were hungry. And he said the last part of that, he says, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." There's going to be some mourning and weeping. I think they were kind of enjoying themselves with the things. They saw the blessing. The Lord was filling people with fish and bread and the stuff. And he was working miracles. They seen great things done and all these things. But there is going to come a time in their lives where they were going to have to suffer. And they may be laughing now, but there is going to be coming a time when there's going to be mourning. I believe that after the Lord was crucified and the persecution came, James and John, and James was taken became a martyr, slain. I think they took a sword and chopped him in half. I don't remember exactly what all that story was, but he was killed. And I may imagine his brother John was mourning. He lost a brother. What's this going to cost me? It's going to cost you everything. And I believe that that's what the Lord is telling us as Christians. We need to be able to realize it's going to cost us something to serve him. It's going to cost us. And so he's telling them, whoa, just put this in your mind, all the things, these four things I've told you up here, how you're going to be blessed, and you're not going to hunger, you're not going to weep, and all these things, but that's down the road. And there's coming a time when this life is over, I guarantee you, we're going to see a change. I try to think about it every once in a while. What's it going to be like? That time when my old hands stop moving and my head stops thinking, and what my eyes are closed, and what am I going to see? I'm going to see his glory. I'm going to see all the things that he has prepared for us. He says, and then in verse 26, he says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." I think most of those apostles, they liked it when people were speaking well of them. And, you know, isn't Brother Peter a great guy? John, isn't he a good preacher? We like hearing him, and we like all that good things. But have to remember, here he says, there's going to become a time, though. He says, "For so shall they," he tells them this, he says, "For so did their fathers to the false prophets." If they're thinking too well of you, you need to realize there's something wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The reason why they speak well to us sometimes is because we're nice and pleasant and we're not giving them the truth. The truth is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not anyone, one of us, that are not sinners. All have sinned, and we need to realize that. And people need to be told that. Everybody wants to think, "Oh, my sin's not that bad." It's bad to God. There's not any sin that's good. It's all evil in his sight. Matter of fact, he can't tell the difference between a murderer and a thief. God sees them the same. He can't tell a difference between a murderer and a liar. To him, it's same. It's sin. And that's what I believe he's trying to wake up his disciples to some of these things, because this particular portion here in Luke is to the disciples. And he says, people say to them, I'll go back and read 26 again. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Back here in Matthew's gospel, he tells them, he goes on, and this is what he's saying in the Beatitudes here. He says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They're out there. Here he's going to tell them that they're preaching the word. They're telling people of their sins, trying to convict people of their sin, and trying to turn them to God, telling them there's only one way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what they're trying to tell them. And when that happens, persecution comes your way. Today we think it's a slam of the door. Well, it's more than that when you're in Saudi Arabia. It's more than that when you're in Yemen. I just reading the story of a Christian, a man who was over there, and he was out proclaiming God's word, and he came up and was telling the people that they needed to turn to Christ and different things like that, and all of a sudden, his head came off. Somebody took a sword and just killed him right there. They don't want to hear it. We need to pray for our missionaries in these foreign countries. Because believe it or not, it doesn't matter what country you're in today, there are people there that hate Christians. And it's getting more and more as we see the day approaching. One day, it's going to come. I was just watching the news the other night and seeing the riots that's going on there in New Jersey, and here's people screaming and yelling ISIS officers, and they're trying to fight them off. One guy gets bit on the arm and scratched. Took some fingernails and just scratched his arm. And they were cursing. One guy was telling him he knew their face and he was going to kill him and his family. They were screaming this stuff. I don't know how those guys can just stand there and let that go right on. You know, the fight in me sometimes says, I'm not going to take that. But guess what? That's not what the Bible says. A matter of fact, he's going to go on and tell us that here in this verse of Scripture in Matthew's Gospel, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets which were before you. In Luke's Gospel, we're studying today, he goes on and tells them here, he said, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smite thee on one cheek, offer thou also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, bid him not take thy coat also. And so he's telling us, these are the way it needs to be. He's telling us in Luke's Gospel, he's telling his apostles, these are the things that are going to happen. And when they do happen to you, this is your response. Now, I don't know sometimes today as a Christian if I could take all that. It's only going to be by the grace of God, I tell you. Because sometimes we have a fight in us, you know. We don't like our flesh to be hurt. I mean, I I'm afraid if someone would have bit my arm as a policeman, I would have took his bat and whacked him on the head. His head probably would have been crushed if he'd done that to me. But anyway, that's not the attitude. I would hope and pray that I could be able to stand there and take it and realize that's the result. That's what a Christian is supposed to do. And so here in Luke's Gospel, as he's told his disciples, he told them about blessed are in verse 20, it says, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And what he's talking about here, like he said in Matthew's Gospel, he used the term in this one, as he's saying, this is blessed are the poor in spirit. That means humble. You're humbled. You're humbled to serve the Lord and realizing the persecution you take, whether it be someone crumble up a track and throw it down at you. I've had that happen. Even at work, I gave a guy a track one time, and he took it, looked at it, crumbled it up, and threw it away. You know, it offends you, but, you know, we know God's going to take care of that situation. We know that that we put that all in the Lord's hand, and that's what he's saying here. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. When our spirit's right and we're humble, yielding to what God wants us to do, what Christ wants us to do. And I believe that when we come into a situation, maybe we've never been in before, that the Holy Spirit gives us strength. I've been in times that I know I've knocked on doors and talked to people. The Holy Spirit gives you strength. And to be able to know what to do and what to say. It's very important when you're leading somebody to the Lord that you listen to the Holy Spirit as he talks to us and we're able to do what he asks us to do. So he said, we have the kingdom of God to look for. He's got tells us that. And he says, and blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. As blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. There's times, I think it tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's times to, let's look over there. I just was reading some of that, just finished up with Proverbs today, and we went over and read some more Ecclesiastes. I was looking at that, and he tells us, he says there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. So God tells us he's going to take care of those things. And so here in the book of Luke, as he's talking to his disciples, telling them all these things, and we just look back for just a minute, because in the Gospel of Matthew, he's talking to everybody, and he's trying to impress to the multitude. Here he says, he says in verse 4, he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's letting them know, you may mourn today, but you're going to be comforted. God's word is comfort to us. It's not only a light unto our path, as it tells us in Psalms, it also tells us it's a comfort. It's a comfort. I see Brother Ames is here. And you know, at Cessna, it was just like that when I was there. I just want to tell you, it hasn't changed. You just wait around, it won't change. Anyway, I heard his message too. I was going to tell him that it hasn't changed. Matter of fact, I used to be the guy trying to tell that story, you know. I remember having our crew meetings, bringing them in, say, hey, you know, man, this is the way things are going. It's going to get good, all this stuff. Then they would ask me, what's going on? My answer was, always check the stock market. If it drops 5 or 10 points downhill, yeah, get ready to pack your bags. And that's another story. How did I get there? He walked in. That's what it was. Okay. It's his fault, not me. All right. It's time to stop anyway. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a great God that loves us and cares for us. Father, I pray that you help us through the times that we feel poor in spirit. Lord, that we humble ourselves before you. And Father, I pray that you help us in times when there's mourning and weeping. Lord, knowing that you're going to comfort us. We're so thankful, Lord, that we serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. I pray, Lord, that you be with our pastor as he comes now, proclaiming the word. I ask, Lord, that you be lifted up and glorified. For, Lord, we know when you're lifted up, you'll draw all men to you. Father, I just pray that you have your will and way now in the services to come. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And it's a good Sunday for me because I don't have to be in here. I'm in junior church.